trying to shock the world.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble. Today we're going to be looking at fantasy points leagues. Michael Bolton,
let's get to it indeed.
So what we're talking about today was we're talking about the differences, what a fantasy points league is, the differences between points leagues and category leagues, talking about players who benefit a lot in points leagues versus category leagues, and the opposite, players who aren't worth anywhere near as much in a points league versus a categories league. A lot of the stuff that we've done over the last couple of weeks, especially like the positional tiers, that doesn't really apply to points league. They are a much simpler version of fantasy basketball than category leagues are. You're pretty much looking for a guy who's going to average more points than the other guy. That's the way it goes, but it doesn't mean there aren't differences, because most rankings, most blurbs, most information is tailored to category leagues. So that can change opinions on guys who might slide under the radar. Your ADP on your sites, your Fantrax, Yahoo, your ESPN, whatever site you're playing on, that ADP is in general tailored towards category leagues, because they are by far the largest proportion of leagues that are run are category leagues. So you'll see these guys, and it's important to be able to look at those guys in your draft queue and find out who's sliding because of that ADP, which is not going to be relevant to the type of league that you're playing. Points leagues are a great introduction for someone coming from fantasy football, coming across to fantasy basketball, getting people involved, your family, your brother, your sister, your mum, your partner. My partner is joining fantasy basketball for the first time this season. She is in one of the Red Rock Challenge points leagues. She knows nothing about the NBA, nothing about fantasy, so I'm trying to teach her up before the draft, which actually kicks off. It's probably kicked off by the time you're listening to this podcast, so we'll see how she goes in that one. But it's a great way to get people involved in fantasy basketball and involved in the NBA, so that's why we are looking at fantasy points leagues now. The number one question that I always... a question I often get when talking about points leagues is what settings to use. Well, the NBA introduced a standard points settings for standard leagues. It's adopted over on FanDuel for DFS as well, Yahoo for DFS, Yahoo and ESPN for season long as well. Moneyball uses it here as well in Australia for DFS. I don't think DraftSize has the exact, no, they don't have the exact same settings, but these are the standard points league settings. So if you're ever tweeting me a question, Instagramming me a question, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, YouTubing me a question, say, who do I pick? Points league. You got to be specific, because this changes so much. Now, in a category league, most people are just using the standard 8 or 9 categories. And if you're using anything extra, you got to tell me. You can't say, oh, in a 15 cat league, who do you like better? Because that means nothing. Same as if you say points league, it means nothing unless you say default points leagues. These are the defaults. Points. Every point you score equals 1 fantasy point. Rebounds. Every rebound is 1.2 fantasy points. Every assist, 1.5 fantasy points. Every steal, 3 fantasy points. Every block, 3 fantasy points. And every turnover, -1 fantasy point. That is the standard scoring. You can do different things. CBS, I believe their standard scoring is 1 point for everything, which is an absolute shitful system, except that they, for some reason, they give assists 2. So it really bumps those point guards up. But anything that gives 1 point for everything means that volume scorers are going to absolutely dominate. And the guys who get defensive numbers, blocks and steals, it's going to absolutely mean nothing. A bloke averages 15 points and 1 block, which in a category league means it's got similar value than in a 1 point per stat league, then the guy scoring the points is 15 times more valuable than the guy getting the block. And that is completely ridiculous. In this situation, points are still a little bit overvalued. Someone gets 1 block, it's 3 points. Someone gets 15 points, it's still 15 points. So it's still not quite at that level. You'd have to go pretty hard and go, hey, let's make blocks 9 points or 10 points to really, really throw things weirdly amongst the rankings. But this is not a terrible way of going about it. The other way you can change things around in points leagues is have penalties for missing shots. 1 point for field goal made, -1 for field goal attempted. 1 point for, half a point for free throws made, half a point minus for free throws attempted. However you want to do it, there's no right or wrong answer. Just be wary. No matter what change you make, it's going to change the valuation, and you don't want to just absolutely supercharge an area. You don't want to have your points being equal to blocks. Because again, then those guys who are just volume scorers, it takes away the value of a Rudy Gobert. Like, his value disappears significantly. It changes things quite a bit. So just be wary of what you're doing in terms of that. But this is the standard points league settings. This is what we are doing for all the Red Rock Challenge points leagues as well. This is what you get in DFS. This is what you get on Yahoo Standard, on ESPN Standard. These are your standard fantasy points leagues categories. Don't forget, guys, we've got Mack Weldon who is supporting today's show. So go ahead and check out Mack Weldon and use that promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off your first order. All right, let's have a look now at some other information. So what else can you do? As I've mentioned, you can add those field goal and free throw attempts and misses, free throws, field goals, all that sort of stuff. But the other thing that often happens in points leagues is bonuses, double-double bonuses, triple-double bonuses. I'm not for these, and I'll tell you why. It's because a person who, it's an arbitrary number for a start. It's 10. Like, why is 10 the cutoff bonus? But the people who get the double-double, that average 12 and 10, they're already getting the bonus from having 10 rebounds versus someone that gets 9 rebounds, they get that extra 1 or 1.2 points. So why should they then get a 5-point bonus because they grab one extra rebound? It doesn't make sense to me. Now, some people like it because it can really be a way to catch up if you stream a double-double guy. And hey, here's his 5 points and here's his 20 for a triple-double. So many people put like, oh, here's 1,000 points for a quadruple-double. I don't know why you bother. It's just not going to happen. Or the other thing that we, you know, people have ejections or personal fouls and texts. I hate all that bullshit. I don't like those as categories. But they are things people do. The other things you can do, offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds. You can put those in as separate categories. So that's another way that you can go about putting more categories in for the big man, splitting those up. You know, maybe you want to do offensive rebounds as 1.5, defensive rebounds as 1.2. An interesting way for fantasy points leagues is to try and keep efficiency as a part of it. And it's something which I'm toying with, looking at. I think I did one league like this last year. Maybe I'll institute it for the Red Rock points leagues next year. But it's using John Hollinger's game score statistic, which is based on his PER statistic, which, of course, is a little bit of an audit. Oh, it's a very outdated advanced number. But game score is interesting. What it does is you get 1 point per point. You get 0.4 points per field goal made. You get negative 0.7 points for every field goal attempted. Free throws attempted minus free throws made. That gets times by negative 0.4. Offensive rebounds are 0.7, defensive rebounds are 0.3, steals are 1, assists are 0.7, blocks are 0.7, personal fouls are negative 0.4, and turnovers are negative 1. So that is the game score number. If you use Fantrax, actually, you can just use one scoring category as game score. That's what you can do, and instead of having all these individual things. But this is an interesting way of doing it. It takes efficiency into consideration. It's, again, based on PER as a single number. I think 40 is when you're looking at elite numbers, 20 is looking at average type numbers, and it does separate the good from the bad player while also taking into account efficiency numbers, fouls, turnovers, all those sort of things as well. You're weighing offensive rebounds more importantly than defensive rebounds. So it is an interesting number. I said 20 was average. 10 is an average score. 40 is an amazing score for game score. So that's another way you can look at doing points leagues if you want to take into consideration efficiency. It's better than just doing minus one attempts, minus ones made. This is a good way to do it. So just Google Hollinger game score if you want to go back and have a look at that formula that I just mentioned. All right, so let's have a look. Which players are better in points leagues than in category leagues? The number one guy for this, who, according to my projections, comes in a whopping 65 spots higher in a points league than a category league, is Wigo. Andrew Wiggins. We know that he struggles to defend. He struggles with defensive stats, assists, rebounds. He's inefficient. But what he will do is he will score. And that's exactly where, even though this new system doesn't give as much of an advantage to scorers, it still gives a big advantage to scorers. So Andy Wiggins, he is that guy that takes a big leap forward. So you might see his ADP at 110 or 120, whereas in reality, in a points league, he's a bloke that can come in as a 60th guy, a 70th guy, that sort of player. That's a big difference. That's important to note. So because if you can get this guy at pick 100, where his value is really as a top 75 sort of a player, yeah, that's really interesting. ADP on Yahoo's 113 and his rank on Yahoo's 191, but this is a top 75 points league player. RJ Barrett, a guy that, maybe it's the Canadian-ness in them, but it really does profile similarly to Wiggins. Poor efficiency, poor defensive numbers, but racks up rebounds. He will score a bit. He will get assists. I've got him coming in significantly better in points leagues versus category leagues. In fact, 48 spots higher in points leagues versus category leagues. Again, we're looking at guys in the standard points league scoring setting that have real hits in their efficiency or lack in those defensive numbers, but really bring it in the higher volume categories, points and rebounds. And that's where we're seeing these two guys come in. The Baconator, Dwayne Bacon, 46 spots higher in a points league. Again, a guy who's a chucker, who scores and doesn't really do anything else at all. But in a points league, that's valuable. He doesn't even have an ADP on Yahoo. He's got a rank at 189. In a category league, I think he's fine as a last pick because he's going to get a shit ton of minutes. In a points league, he moves into a 10th, 11th round sort of player who could, realistically, he could average 18 points a game this season for the Hornets and bring you, 25, 26 fantasy points per game this season. And that is a guy that you look at, who you get in those last couple of rounds, who could really return a significant amount of value. There's going to be a lot of commonality between these players, but Marvin Bagley takes a big jump forward, 41 spots higher in points leagues versus category leagues, because again, he can struggle with the efficiency, free throw shooting. His steal numbers are low, his assist numbers are low, he blocks an okay amount of shots, his field goal percentage is all right, but it's not great. But he is a top 50 points league guy. Maybe he gets to be a top 40 guy. He's in the zone. Like, in terms of my projections, like, I have him coming out in points leagues higher than Draymond, higher than Jonas Valanciunas, higher than Bam Adebayo, higher than Zach LaVine. Whereas in a category league, you're looking 20, 30 spots lower for Bagley in general. So he is a guy that takes a really, really big step forward in your standard points leagues settings. Brandon Ingram, another guy who scores a lot, but the lack of defense, the lack of efficiency, the poor free throw shooting, it really hurts him in category leagues. 110 ADP on Yahoo, but like Wiggins, this is a bloke that can crack the top 75 for points leagues because he's going to score. He's going to score quite a bit. He can rebound. He can get some assists, but it's all about that scoring. Yeah, he, I think I've got him projected here at about 32, 33 fantasy points per game, which puts him into that top 75 range, and he has a 37 ranking disparity between his points league rank and his category rank. So again, you're seeing a commonality here. Wiggins, poor percentages. Barrett, poor percentages. Bacon, no other stats and poor field goal percentage. Bagley, poor free throw percentage, a points and rebounds guy. Ingram, a points guy with poor percentages. It's a pretty common theme. So when you ask those questions, you know, which guys to really target in points leagues, these are the guys that really make a difference. It's the scorers who lack in other areas. Let's go and have a look at a few more guys who get boosts here. Julius Randle. Now, Julius Randle, I think, is still going to be good for this upcoming season. I don't think he's going to be as good as some people think, but in a points league, yes, he is going to be that good. I think he's a top 30 points league guy. His rank on Yahoo is 69.
Giggity!
Which I think is about right in that 55 to 65 type of range in the category league. But he is a third round points league guy. I think I did a points league best ball draft and I had the pick on the turn at the 24-25 and I grabbed him there. That's the sort of area you feel relatively confident with what Fizdale is going to do. That is the sentence I never thought I would say in my life. But I feel relatively confident in how Fizdale is going to deploy Randle. Of course, any confidence I can't wait to dive into the Fizdale quotes that prove out to be false 24 hours later this season. It's going to be awesome. Going to have Fizdale watch on the podcast. But Julius Randle, a guy who does take a big step forward in points leagues. Much like Brandon Ingram, Justice Winslow takes a big step forward. They're pretty similar players in that respect. 135 ADP in category leagues. He's a top 100-ish type of guy in points leagues who can score a bit. He rebounds a bit. He's got that bad free throw percentage. He can struggle with efficiency. The defensive numbers haven't been there for him. It's just a familiar refrain for guys like Winslow. And Alex Len, another player who I think is still going to be good in category leagues, no doubt about that. But I think he's a top 100 points league guy pretty comfortably. His rank is 127 over on Yahoo, so you can get 25, 30 spots of value out of Len as the presumptive starting center there for the Atlanta Hawks, a points and rebound sort of guy who can get some blocks as well, which can be helpful. Dennis Schroeder coming in as another guy with a 30-spot rank difference in his points leagues versus categories, 33 to be precise in the way that I'm looking at it. It doesn't mean that he's an awesome pick, but this is the situation where you look at him. His efficiency was terrible last season. I don't think he's going to get the same minutes this year that he got last year. When Paul is out, that'll bump up. I don't like him as a category league guy, but as a late round player in points leagues, fine. 11th round, absolutely no worries to have a look at him there. He's ranked 172 over on Yahoo as well, which I think is about right for categories, but for points league, he's in the mix. So he's someone that you should be paying attention to. And another Dennis Smith Jr. Similarly, free throws, efficiency, they have been a bugaboo for Smith through his first two NBA seasons. Will he get the minutes to be the starter in New York? I've got absolutely no idea. Again, Fizdale doesn't know. And when we revisit this on November the 20th, Fizdale still won't know what he's doing on a night-to-night basis. But I think that 28 minutes for Smith is a realistic expectation at this point. And then we'll see where that goes. But that puts him in that 10th round range with upside. Because if he plays 35 a night, Dennis Smith, then he does push into the top 70, top 80 of points leagues. But that is, of course, at this point, a pretty big if. Let's look at the next bunch of guys who are better in points leagues. Hassan Whiteside, it's mainly those free throws that bring him down in overall category ranks. But again, overall category ranks, you know the peril in relying upon those. Whiteside is a top 50 points league guy because the free throws aren't really counting. But if you're punting free throws, that's probably where he lies in category leagues anyway. But when his ADP comes in at 70 and you're at pick 45 in the fourth round, then Whiteside could be that guy you're looking at. And he could have value there. He actually almost definitely will. That will drop off as the season goes. But for the first 4 months of the year, maybe he's a top 30 guy. Maybe he's a top 35 guy to begin the season. And then maybe you trade him out in January before Yusuf Nurkic comes back and get yourself another top 45 guy for the back end of the season. You've got big Steve Adams as well, who's 31 spots higher in a points league. The free throws kill him. He's not a very high block guy, but he's going to get more rebounds with Westbrook out of town. He's going to score maybe a little bit more as well. So I like him as a fifth round type center. And the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, I don't think he's got any place in a category league this year, just with Anthony Davis and LeBron there. And again, remember that Kuzma has never been a top 100 category league guy. He may not even be a top 100 points league guy this season, but he is a player who has more value, 30 spots higher at the moment. Now, the problem is his ADP on Yahoo is 97, which, again, is an absolute burn of a pick. You shouldn't be burning your pick there at 97 on the future MVP. So maybe that takes him out of calculations. Blakey Griffin, an interesting one. He's a guy that takes a step up like Julius Randle. He's maybe a 50-ish, 55-ish sort of guy in a category league. I think he's a third rounder pretty comfortably in a points league, at least on a per-game basis. His dicky knee is a little bit of a worry, but I think Griffo is a guy that does take that big step up in when we're looking at points leagues. While Domantas Sabonis, low defensive numbers, free throw percentage can be sometimes an issue for him. But in a points league, I think we're looking at a 23 spot increase in his overall value, knocking on the door of the top 50 in his new role as a starter for this Indiana Pacers team. All right, let's now look at the flip side of things for points leagues, and that is who is worse in a points league versus where they are in a category league. Because these are guys that when you see their ADP, when you see their rank, they might be just staring you right in the face, just like dog's balls, and you got to say, well, this is not tailored to what I'm doing in a points league, so let's let them fall down a little bit. The number one guy I'm looking at here is PJ Tucker. Now, we know where PJ Tucker's value comes from. He gets a lot of steals. He hits threes. That's what he does. In a standard points league, threes actually mean nothing because there's no bonus for them. And he steals. What's you getting there? Like, what's he going to give you, 20 points per game from a fantasy point of view? Maybe. That's where he sort of sits. But in a category league, brilliant last pick. Get some rebounds, get some steals. Helps you if you're lacking in that steals number. The minutes are going to be there. No one's taking them off him. So you've got consistency in production, but it just doesn't translate to fantasy points. D Green, that is Danny Green of the Los Angeles Lakers. Green, another guy whose value comes from the low volume categories. And when you're going to see a lot of this as well, the guys who really excel in steals, blocks, and three-pointers, they do get a hit in value in points leagues versus category leagues. So Green, a guy who could be a top 100, top 110 sort of category league guy, probably not a top 150 guy in points leagues. He doesn't score in big volume. He gets no rebounds or assists. He blocks shots, which is great for a shooting guard. But if that's 0.7, like what the hell is that giving you from a points league perspective? So he's not a guy we should be all that interested in. Mikal Bridges, similarly, I reckon he can crack the top 100 in category leagues. Steals, assists, flourished a bit. He can block shots. He hits threes. He can be efficient. Means nothing in a points league. So Bridges, to me, is that you take him in the last round sort of a player, whereas he's a 10th and 11th round guy in a category league. So it is a drop in my projections of 44 spots in points versus category leagues for Mikal Bridges. And similarly, the category league darling, Marcus Smart. We know what Marcus Smart does. He's a good passer, and I think his assists are going to go up this year. He's excellent for steals. His shooting has actually improved quite a bit, but he's a low usage guy. He hits threes at a decent amount, but he's not going to be a 10, 12 point per game guy. He's going to be a player that gets 5 assists and 3.5 boards and 2 steals a game, which is massive for a category league, but for a points league, it doesn't mean that much. So I've got him ranked 41 spots lower in a points league versus where he comes in a category league. So just be aware that when Smart comes out at his ADP at 88, You should be looking at him more as an 11th, a 12th round guy in a points league, not that player at round 88 in round 7 or round 8. Bob Covington, similarly, again, we talk about guys who thrive from defensive numbers and steals. Oh, sorry, defensive number and threes. Well, that is exactly what Covington is. He's a guy that I think is a 3rd to 4th round category league guy. He's more of a 7th to 8th round points league guy, a 37 rank drop there because, again, his value, he's not scoring 18 a game. He's not getting 9, 10 boards. He's coming in and he's getting 2 steals. He's getting a block. He's hitting a lot of threes, and that doesn't mean that much in a fantasy points league. So his value does drop off pretty significantly in that sort of a format. The next group of guys we look at, Nick Batum. Batum was bad last year. He still, in category leagues, was the 100th best player. The minutes might come down a bit this year. I think the usage increases. Someone's going to have to distribute because Terry Rozier can't pass. So we'll see how Batum runs. But I also think at the end of the year, we might see his role get limited. But the problem is the guys behind him, they're not that good. I think Bacon and Miles Bridges are already going to be starting with Batum in the middle of them. I think the role for Batum is going to be really dependent on what happens with Malik Monk. If Monk steps up, that pushes Bacon to the 3 and Monk at the 2, and that really impacts Batum. But even so, in a points league, I would just forget about Batum altogether. I think he's an interesting later round category guy, but I don't think he's even a top 150 guy for points league because what he does, he's not a high scorer, not a volume scorer. He gets assists, he gets some rebounds, he can help in steals, but it's not enough in a points league to really make any impact, and that risk of him losing minutes at some point of the season is absolutely there. Brooke Lopez. We love Brooke Lopez as that mid-round category league guy who's going to get two threes a game, 2 blocks a game. Fantastic. Means nothing. Not a high rebounder. Doesn't get assists. That free throw percentage means nothing for him. Not a high volume scorer. Maybe sees one fewer minute this season with his brother in tow to be the backup center. So Lopez, instead of being a 5th round player, a 6th round player, he's a 9th round guy. He's a 10th round potential guy in a points league who's just not that volume player that you need in a points league. So when you see him sitting there at his ADP of 64 and you're at pick 70, you just go, well, now let's go to another guy because there are other players. Let's take Andy Wiggins. Now, it's probably a bit early because you can get him a bit later. But let's take that other guy there. Don't be swayed by those ADPs. You have to be aware that the ranks and the ADPs are category ranks. ESPNs, they might be fantasy football ranks for all I know because they make no sense. But on Yahoo, on Fantrax, they're category ranks. They're not points leagues ranks. So there is these differences that you absolutely need to pay attention to. Patty Beverly, another guy, the steals, the rebounds from a point guard can be really valuable, decent or really good shot blocking numbers from a point guard, but yeah, as a 10th round category league guy, I think he drops quite a bit, you know, 30 spots fewer or 30 spots lower in a points league, not really someone you need to pay too much attention to. And Maxi Kleber, like a bargain basement Brook Lopez, gets his blocks, hits his threes, doesn't do too much else. That doesn't translate into fantasy points league. So Maxi Kleber, a guy that drops down by 29 spots, and Davis Bertans, the presumptive starting power forward for the Wizards, maybe, we don't know at this point, but Bertans hits a lot of threes. That's great. It means nothing for points league. So here's a guy that is well down the list, has an ADP of 130 on Yahoo, probably more of an outside the top 150 guy, and someone that you could leave alone in the majority of fantasy points leagues. Next bunch of guys, or the last bunch of guys I want to look at here, Otto Porter. He's excellent for Roto, pretty good for head-to-head, nowhere near as good in points league. So it is a pretty significant drop off what Porter does. He just provides solid value across the board. Gets steals, rebounds okay, scores all right, hits some threes. In a points league though, with an ADP of 35, I wouldn't want him until the 5th or maybe 6th round in a points league. 25 spots lower in my overall projections there. Stormer Norman Powell, another one who does come out worse in, he's an interesting late round flyer in a category league. In a points league, there are better guys, 25 spots worse. Smokin' Joe Harris, we know what he does. He hits threes, and he hits them at a ludicrous amount. If your league, if your category league has 3-point percentage in it, Joe Harris's value is sky high. He was at 47% from three, and he shot over 50% from three at the FIBA World Cup as well. So he has value in that sort of an area, but for points leagues, there's just no point in grabbing a guy like Joe Harris, a low-volume, high 3-point percentage guy. It just doesn't translate to a fantasy points league. Joshy Richardson comes in 24 spots lower in points versus categories. We think his value this year is going to come from an increase in steals and an increase in blocks, and that just doesn't move the needle for fantasy points leagues. Now, it is an interesting spot to where he fits with the Sixers. He was a top 50-ish target last season. I think he's more of a seventh round sort of player this year, but in a points league, he's more of a ninth round guy, barely cracking the top 100 in my opinion. So that is important to know. And Terrence Ross, again, just volume threes, who gets good free throw percentage. It means nothing. It doesn't count as well for fantasy points leagues. He's a guy in a category league, in 11th round, you need some threes, you need two threes a game. Rossi can be that guy. In a points league, what am I looking at? A bloke who gives me 25 fantasy points per game, maybe with very limited upside. I think that's the way that we should be looking at Terry Ross for this upcoming season. That'll do it for my look at fantasy points leagues. But remember, tomorrow I am doing a fantasy points mock draft with a bunch of Patreon supporters, some people from Twitter as well. I'm going to be going in, I'm going to be shit-talking all of their picks, I'm going to be looking at how things pan out, and looking at the differences in strategy in a points league, and which guys I'm going to be taking before their ADP or their rank, as I outlined in this show. So make sure you are checking out that mock draft as well. We did an auction mock draft yesterday. I hope you guys enjoyed that. There's going to be plenty more mock drafts coming in the coming weeks before the NBA season starts. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and Instagram at @LockedOnFantasyBasketball as well. We've got some polls that go up there in our story. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. Give me a thumbs up. Leave a comment below. Hit the bell so you never miss an episode as well. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Monk.